Hi, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. According to the Sentencing Project, nearly 10% of citizens in Mississippi have been disenfranchised of their right to vote. That's more than triple the national rate. The state is estimated to have the largest population of people who lost the right to vote in the country. A big reason for why this number is so high is the subject of a new federal court case. Under Mississippi's Constitution, there are 22 felonies spelled out. Once anyone in the state is convicted of one of those crimes, they lose their right to vote permanently. On Tuesday, judges at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans heard arguments about the constitutionality of this practice, and it's part of a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of six people who have been convicted and lost their right to vote. Dennis Hopkins is one of the six people who brought this case to court as a class action. Hopkins completed his sentence of grand larceny 16 years ago and still can't vote. Here he is talking to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
These people that's going to judge me, they should walk in my shoes. Shame on them for judging me, because you know what? I'm the one that paid my debt to society, and I'm the one that pays my taxes. I have a right to do that, but I don't have a right to vote. And it's not where I came from, it's how I finish.
Paloma Wu is the senior supervising attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's one of the representatives for Hopkins and the other plaintiffs, and she joins us now. Paloma, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having us.
So Mississippi has a long list of crimes spelled out in its constitution. Once you're convicted of one of these crimes, essentially there's no way to get your voting rights restored. Is that right?
Effectively, there is no way. We have sort of a sham way, which is part of our lawsuit. Only 18 people got their right restored between 2013 and 2018. You have to get an individual legislator to pass a bill in your name by two-thirds of both houses of the Mississippi legislature in order to get your right to vote back. It's not a meaningful system. There are no standards. That's completely discretionary, and it's simply disproportionately impacts Black voters, but it impacts all Mississippians who've lost their right to vote. 50,000 Mississippians were convicted of disqualifying crimes in the last about 24, 25 years, and most of them have completed their sentence, including probation and parole. We represent all those people, about 30,000 in this class action.
On Tuesday, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which you work for, argued that this practice is unconstitutional. You mentioned there are three states across the country that do this. What is the argument there? Explain how this is unconstitutional.
We, along with our co-counsel at Simpson Thatcher, brought this case on behalf of folks in Mississippi. We've argued that Mississippi's lifetime voting ban that's automatic as to all felonies and its sort of meaningless scheme of getting your right to vote back violates the Eighth Amendment. It's essentially cruel and unusual punishment. Over 40 states, in the United States have no such lifetime voting ban for individuals who've completed their sentences. There are a wide range of studies that show that the inability of people to get their right to vote back once they've returned is devastating. It actually increases recidivism rates when you don't give people the right to vote back. It makes it difficult for them to reintegrate back into their communities. These people are paying taxes for decades. They're raising families. Their kids are in schools. They can't elect the school boards. They can't elect the judges that adjudicate the guilt and innocence of the people around them and those they love. These are people. We need their voices to be heard. And having these draconian disenfranchisement laws that are rooted in post-Civil War Mississippi, these schemes violate Equal Protection Clause. They disqualify Black voters at a rate of 2-1 in Mississippi, and that is doing what it was meant to do. So these provisions were adopted with the express purpose to secure the state of Mississippi for white people and consolidate political power at a time when freed Black people and their descendants were actually gaining political power. So this is part of a longer fight, but it's a very, very critical point for us in Mississippi.
Paloma, let's talk a little bit about, we know that there are racial disparities in the criminal justice system. How much does that play into what's happening here in Mississippi?
You know, tying the right to vote, excluding people from the franchise for things like involvement in the criminal justice system or the amount of money that you have, I mean, this is the rule one for the Mississippi plan, which, you know, came after the, you know, Civil War. First, Mississippians who were white, who were trying to keep political power to themselves, they carried elections by fraud and violence. When Black Americans started organizing, then they, then they called constitutional conventions, Mississippi being one of the first, for the purpose of creating essentially, intertwined voter eligibility requirements that would result in sweeping lifelong disenfranchisement of African Americans while minimizing disenfranchisement of white people. And so, this is historically, unrebutted information about where these laws came from. So when we get them in Mississippi, we exported them across the country along with the Great Migration. We took them everywhere, and people across the country have been dismantling them because they see these laws for what they are.
Let me ask you about that, because across the country, we just mentioned Florida, and last November, we've covered this on the show, Floridians voted to reinstate voting rights for people who've been convicted and completed probation and parole, excluding those convicted of murder and sexual offense. And we know that was a big political fight. Legislators wanted to bring back the ability to still prevent people from voting by having them pay off their debts related to their crimes. Overall, Paloma, is the issue of reenfranchisement gaining national momentum?
Absolutely. And that's part of one of the claims that we've brought in our case over the last 50 years. It's flip-flopped the proportion of states that used to have lifetime voting bans, and now, over 40 where there's no lifetime voting ban for individuals have completed their sentence. Nearly two-thirds of Floridian, voting citizens voted to reenfranchise returning citizens. It's the largest expansion of voting rights since the Voting Rights Act passed in Louisiana. Returning citizens there are organized in order to get returning citizens their right to vote back. And, Southern Poverty Law Center, we know racial pretext. We've been helping to go after these things. And we filed a lawsuit in, Florida banning what we call the modern day poll tax. Modern day poll tax, when you tie the franchise to involvement in the criminal justice system, when you tie the franchise, how much money do you have? Do you happen to owe anybody money? These are old games. These are old ploys. So the fact that they're coming back is incredibly disturbing. So just at a time when we find the tide changing, that there's no lifetime voting ban. I mean, this is one of the fundamental arguments in our cruel and unusual punishment claim, is the times have changed. So that is, no lifetime voting ban. Times have changed, but now we're bringing back the poll tax in Florida. So this is something that we have to remain vigilant about, even though we're at a time when it is getting more attention and people are starting to try to give people the right to vote back, which they did have briefly after the Civil War, but before these big Reconstruction constitutions.
Paloma, is there any federal legislation that could change voting rights laws nationally, or is this still going to be a state by state issue?
We believe every state has to be focusing on this within each state. But there, the federal government, could act to make clear that, your socioeconomic status and, your race shouldn't be impacting your right to the franchise.
Paloma Wu is a senior supervising attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the representatives for the plaintiffs in a class action lawsuit against Mississippi's felony voting rights laws. Paloma, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.